www.radiotalkradio.com.
Arms Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. And to split this hour between politics with Jeff Deist, going on along the same lines as what we talked about with Glenn here at the end of the last hour, but we're also going to spend 50% of our time with what we define as our expert panel, Richard Postma, Rick Ackerman, and a new gentleman is joining us this weekend, Sean Broderick. He's not a new gentleman. He's an old friend of mine, for lack of better terms. He was with Weiss Research. Sean is now with the Oxford Club. We posted what I thought was a very, very interesting missive that he wrote earlier this week. Sean's going to be on the show more often than not. He's just a good guy, and he's a very, very bright guy. Gentlemen, here's the million-dollar question to start out. I believe that yesterday, Friday, April 11th, signaled a turn in the market. Okay, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and I believe these were the closing numbers, off almost 143 points. The S&P off almost, about 14 points if you round it. And the NASDAQ was off 48 if you round it. NASDAQ was the big loser in the sense that it was over a 1% loss. S&P was off about 0.8% and about 0.9% for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Sean, I'd like to start with you. I got to tell you, man, I really think that people are starting to wake up, and I think that wake-up call began yesterday, April 11th. What does Sean Broderick think?
I actually think that that call actually began on the 10th, and I sent my subscribers a chart showing the breakdown in the S&P 500, and yes, we had follow-through on Friday as well. And it sure looks like things are going lower. Maybe people are finally realizing that the Fed is really determined to end QE this year. And so that means that we've had a five-year bull market fueled by easy money, and now that money's going to drain out of the market.
Doc, one aspect that I was reading up on Friday was that bank stocks are already starting to show some signs of weakness. J.P. Morgan profits fell 19% on lower fixed income trading and mortgage revenue. Whenever we start to see bank stocks show signs of weakness, I think this is very much foreshadowing of what could be coming for the conventional markets, especially when the banks are getting this much money from the Fed still quite a bit every month, and they're not even able to they're not even able to continue increasing their profits. Comments on this, Doc?
Yeah, I agree. Wells Fargo did pretty good today. I think they were projected to earn 97 cents. I think they earned $1.05, but J.P. Morgan's earnings were really poor. And when you look at these banks, even Bank of America, the chart looks horrible. And that began to sell off about 2 weeks ago. And so it was kind of that was starting to tell me something as well, because like you said, once the banks go, and along with these high flyers, the high beta stocks that biotechs and the NASDAQ that had a good run, I think they're telling us that we've come to the end of this bull market. In fact, I said for about 5 weeks I thought we'd see go away in May. It started a little bit early, but I think it's going to be a very difficult year for this market.
Got two positives, or I guess I should say two agreements, Rick. I'm not surprised that this thing is happening right now. You know, it's a little early to tell after just 2 days, as Sean says, but I'm not surprised at all that this is happening. What are your technicals telling you, man?
Well, every major target that I had this morning, I was very bearish coming in this morning, and every major target was just missed. In the case of the NASDAQ, which I think has been dragging on the whole market, I was looking for 34.16 low, and the actual low just missed it. It was 34.31. So if we're going to have a turn, I don't think it's going to come today. We still have to go a little bit lower. The way they deflated some of these momentum stocks suggests that it is corrected, in the sense that these stocks are being very, very diligently manipulated lower simply to make them more appealing to the institutional fund managers who basically make their bread and butter from trading momentum stocks and also from having buy and hold stocks that simply go higher. So I think there's a chance we're going to turn around here, but we've still got lower lows to plumb, at least on Monday. We're going to get some sort of bounce from those targets just beneath this, today's low. But the question is, how far will the bounce go? I'm not really on board for the idea that the market's going to shrivel up because the credit is tightening. Regardless of what the Fed says about scaling back on quantitative easing, there's no tightening going on whatsoever. They basically said they're going to hold interest rates low, and I don't think that the financial system could stand the strain of any real tightening at all. So I think that is still, I have to say, it's a plus for the markets.
Guys, continuing to focus on the NASDAQ, just in the, I believe, around 8 trading days that we've had this year in the NASDAQ, or this month in April, we've seen an average move of 1.5% a day. This is quite large, and it's the largest average move since November 2011. I don't like it when I see the conventional markets this volatile, especially when it's moving down. I don't think it's a sign of strength at all. Sean, you have any comments on the volatility in these markets?
Well, yeah, it all depends on, like, what time frame you have. Over the course of a 5-year bull market, the NASDAQ has really been leading the way higher. Therefore, it has the most air in it. So if air is going to come out, it's going to come out of that, right? I mean, that's the place it has the most to really correct. I think that we could still see more weakness in things like a tech, biotech, home builders. What I'm planning to do is I'm going to wait for the next bounce, and I plan to short it. Maybe other people will wait for the next bottom, and then they'll buy it. It takes two sides to make a market, but I'm seeing continued weakness, and there's a whole bunch of things. I mean, I could actually go into this for length, but I'm not going to. There are some problems in the market, and every now and then it needs a correction. We haven't had one in a very long time, and I think we might be coming to the point where we actually have that correction. But the best part is it brings us to lower prices, and if you're longer term bullish, that's the time when you really want to load up.
That is the time when you definitely want to load up if you're long-term bullish. I'm not really sure how anybody could be long-term bullish in this particular situation. I really don't. Yeah, it's just amazing to me. And I want to get into some of your rationale, Sean, in the next segment when we have
sure.
a little bit more time, which obviously is going to be following this segment. But basically, Bloomberg is giving most of the credit for this correction today, if in fact it was a correction, to a continued drop in the technology sector. And that's I'm not surprised necessarily about that one at all. Got about 2 minutes left. Rick, any comments on that one?
Well, for sure. The technology stocks, some of them are a little bit wide of technology, like Facebook, but they are dragging the market lower. They've been so pumped. To give you some idea, the multiple that Facebook trades at is twice Google's. So, you know, in that way, Facebook itself becomes a bidder of some of these tech stocks, and the bidding war, of course, has helped push the market higher. But by and large, yeah, the tech stocks are going to have to turn before the broad market can go higher.
All right, guys, we appreciate this little roundtable. We're going to go ahead. We need to wrap it up here, unfortunately. And next segment, I believe we're going to get more into the markets, but then also touch on gold and silver, because it was an interesting week for gold right now. On our daily editorials, we have been following it, and you guys have been somewhat negative on the short term, but positive on the long term. Doc, I know that you're still looking for a pullback at a certain time. And we also heard from Gary Savage that he's looking for potentially a big pullback. I personally don't think that'll happen, but that's for us to discuss in the next segment. So everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
And just one last thing to throw in here. Nice job, Corey. But one last thing to throw in here is I think that I would have to say that I am as bullish on gold right now as I've ever been. Let's see what the rest of our panel says.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
But we travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
This is Bill Brown, Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, unfunded entitlements, looming Obamacare, the death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you are concerned about maintaining your purchasing power, consider this. Gold and silver are up 497% in 13 years. Call me, 800-686-2237, extension 332. Together we can discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Analysts agree the dollar's problems are increasing. Call me, Bill Brown, 800-686-2237 at extension 332, and we'll discuss your option of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA. Don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar collapses. Call me, Bill Brown, at Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237, extension 332.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Al and myself are continuing our roundtable with Sean Broderick, Richard Tosma, a.k.a. Doc, and Rick Ackerman. Guys, last segment, we touched on the conventional markets. I think we're all in agreement that they are really showing some signs of weakness right now. But let's move on into the precious metals markets. We saw gold and silver move, for the most part, up this week, and but we didn't quite see the strength in the stocks. I find that not to be a very positive sign. However, you know what, gold is still hanging in there. Doc, let's start with you. What did you see this week in the movements in gold, and how does that play into your investment theory?
Well, first of all, let me talk about the precious metal stocks, Corey. All of them, or a lot of them, were showing a bearish wedge. And in fact, today, almost all of the major ones that I follow started to break down today, and they're going to go lower now. But gold held its own today. But I would think that, you know, it put a little bit longer, but I know Rick thinks it may go a little higher. I think it's going to start moving down here starting next week, and we're going to start having gold follow the stock down again. But I don't expect to see it really move down rapidly, but I think it'll be stair-step down, and I think that's going to be a positive.
Well, I think when you totally realize your time frame, I don't think you're really in disagreement with much of anybody. I don't think anybody's talking about major moves here in the next week or two, and I think that I would agree with you on, let's say, you know, in the mid to long term, I think precious metals look really good. From a fundamental standpoint, I don't see how that could be any different. Rick, you agree with me?
Well, gold has been very frustrating. We talked earlier today about how, at least according to my method, gold has tripped some very positive signals on the daily chart. I'm looking at June COMEX, and based on what happened yesterday, I see it going to at least 1354, so there's a little room to rally. And if it blows through that, what I call a midpoint pivot, we should be seeing 1431 on this June contract. So it's got a ways to go. But as Doc was saying, we didn't have such a strong performance on the stock side. And looking at the GDX, the Junior Gold Miners Index, it just barely held on today. And I think if we slip any lower on Monday, you're going to see it go down to 33 and change, currently trading 36 and change. So in percentage terms, that would be a loss of more than 10%. I can't see that happening without physical gold coming down as well. So it's unfortunate that when we get these positive signs in gold, it doesn't simply take off and get you out of trouble, get you out of the stress zone. So let's say the jury's out on the futures, but stocks may pull things lower next week.
Sean, I want to get your comments on the gold market, but then I also want you to touch on silver, because right now silver is trading right around the $20 mark, and I think that silver has been a very big underperformer in the precious metals this year and especially recently. Your comments?
Well, yeah, sure. On gold, looking at a daily chart on Friday, there was a bullish MACD crossover, and I don't know how much anybody listening to this likes technicals, but technically that's a strong sign. Gold itself looks strong on both the daily and the weekly charts. The problem for the miners is on Thursday, they got dragged down so badly with a broad market. People are selling everything stock related. And so if I was going to invest in this area, this is what I'm telling my subscribers. We should be buying the metal itself and not the miners until the miners show some strength, because right now they are not. Now, the U.S. dollar is showing weakness. Maybe that'll start to tumble, and if that happens, then we'll really start to see things move up. But for now, that's something you really have to be aware of. As for silver, because you asked about that, it's really in a range right now. This is something that I wrote about on great length at investmentu.com, and so it's in a range. I think you can buy the bottom of that range, and we're closer to the bottom than the top right now. But until it breaks out of that range, you're just going to have to sell that range because, you know, it's just going to drift along. It has forces that affect it that are a little different from gold, and we don't have enough time to really get into that. One last thing that I did want to mention, natural gas. You guys should be looking at natural gas right now, because I tell you, that's going to be the mover of the summer.
I think you're probably right. I think natural gas is looking really, really good, and I think it could be looking a whole lot better. A lot of reasons for it, and I think if you simply go back to the basic that energy is the lifeblood of an economy, I think that that's one of the reasons I would really agree with you on natural gas. Doc, you think I'm nuts?
No, natural gas chart actually looks pretty good, and there's something else that's perking up too, and with especially with natural gas looking good and with the prices looking like it wants to go higher, and that's coal. And I know nobody's talking about coal, and especially since the Obama administration seems to hate coal. But I feel that certain stocks in coal are looking very good technically right now, and I think one of them in particular is starting to break out. And I think coal is a great place to be because those stocks have just gotten crushed.
Rick, final comments. What are some other sectors that you're looking at?
Well, it's interesting. Gary should mention coal. There were a couple interesting stories out over the latest couple weeks about technologies that are making coal cleaner to burn. And I think he's onto something there because we have so much of it that if we're really looking for ways to beat the energy crunch, to be energy independent and exporters, coal is a definite path. Also, obviously interested in some of these junior miners where you got a lot of leverage. All of the trips that we've taken together to visit some mining sites suggest that there's a lot of gold in the ground that's largely under or perhaps unappreciated by investors. So I think there's plenty of leverage there and relatively little downside risk, as Sean was suggesting. We're certainly a lot closer to a bottom than to a top. Other than that, we've got some stellar growth in the health sector. For better or worse, the government's driving the whole equation. There's plenty of money there, and the healthcare companies that are in position to receive the benefits of investment in medical care and even devices with the tax that's been put on medical devices are they're probably pretty good plays. But that's where the action was last year, and I expect it will continue this year.
You know, I'll tell you, I don't disagree with anything that anybody here is saying. I happen to be a very large fan of the resource sector, and those of you who said that the resource sector probably could perform pretty well for the rest of this year and probably into next year, I have to agree with that 100%. I think the market has been beat down so bad, even given the fact that many of the companies have come back. I personally, for me, not necessarily for anybody else, but for me, I think that's a good place to be. Again, I want to stress one thing. We diversify. We, being my family and I, diversify, and we're firm believers in that. Not telling you to do it. Okay, there you have it. From Sean Broderick, Rick Ackerman, and Richard Postma, we're going to be right back talking politics with Jeff Dice.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Chatting with Jeff Deist right now. Jeff is the former chief of staff for Congressman Ron Paul. He is now the president of the Mises Institute, and he's part of our golfing fraternity, although that's probably the least important thing that all of us do. Having said that, you know, Jeff sent me a missive on Thursday dealing with, it was put out by the New Republic, interestingly enough, and it was basically dealing with the fact that the Republican establishment is going after Congressman Walter Jones from North Carolina, and the main reason that they're doing that, it would appear, at least in my mind, is because of his stance on foreign policy, which I happen to agree with 100%. Walter is a good friend of Ron Paul's, and they both see eye and eye in terms of the United States really does not need to be, and in fact should not be, the policeman of the world. Jeff had some interesting insights into this, and we're going to kind of begin this discussion by going back to the Vietnam era in the early 60s. And we're going to go back there because that is really, in my opinion, when the real personality of this country changed. Jeff, you're on, man.
Well, it did change. The 60s and 70s did change everything. There's no question about it. The baby boom generation, the cultural, sexual, gender revolutions of the 60s and 70s, what they've meant for our country in terms of politics, government, education, pop culture, the arts, sciences, etc., has been enormous. You know, but it's interesting, if you look at the 60s and 70s with regard to foreign policy, especially, you know, the Republicans, for the first half of the 20th century, the Democrats were the party of war. I mean, you go back to Woodrow Wilson, go back to Truman, go back to FDR. And really, even up into Vietnam, the Democratic Party was basically in power, at least in the White House, when our major wars of the 20th century started. And the Republicans, as represented by what we now call the old right, represented by Senator Taft, represented by Knock, by Garrett, later by Barry Goldwater, the old right was was conservative and cautious with regard to the use of American military power. They didn't want to get involved in wars and project American empire. So, you know, along comes the Vietnam conflict, and, you know, that was deeply, deeply unpopular, especially among young people in America. So this became something that, people on the left coalesced around, and it created all this energy. And when Nixon failed to end the war in Vietnam and said escalated it, you know, that really put a taint on Republicans, and it sort of accelerated this left-wing cultural shift in America, because even though all these groups had different goals and different interests, the one thing they all agreed upon on the left was opposition to the war in Vietnam. So that really helped usher in an era of much bigger government on the domestic front, because the left had now formed much more of an identity as a political force. And what the right failed to sort of take away from all that is that war is oftentimes a political and electoral loser. You know, it's not a so-called vigorous foreign policy that's forwarded by today's neoconservatives is not politically popular. It's a loser. So you fast forward to Reagan in the 80s is really when the neoconservative mindset took over the Republican Party's foreign policy, and it replaced the foreign policy of the old right, which I would say is today represented by Mr. Jones and Ron Paul. And they replaced it with neoconservatism. Now, neoconservatism is an ideology that said, well, first of all, it's an ideology of former liberals, Trotskyites, Marxists, etc., like Irving Kristol himself coined the term. Second of all, it's an ideology that's comfortable with big government at home. It doesn't mind a big entitlement or welfare state at home if that allows for grandiose foreign policy. Third, it's an ideology that says, hey, it's okay to break a few eggs to make an omelet. It's okay to even dissemble or lie to the American public if we have to generate support for our goals. And you can, you know, this is basically all out of the handbook of Leo Strauss. And then finally, it's first and foremost an ideology that says America needs to project power and promote democracy and use military force vigorously around the world. Okay, so I mean, we have a very clear definition in neoconservatism. It's not some murky slur or slander the libertarians just use. It's a defined term, okay? And neoconservatism is what now dominates foreign policy in the Republican Party and on the right. And it's also the foreign policy that has brought Barack Obama to power, because there was so much dissatisfaction with Bush's wars in Iraq and Afghanistan just dragging on and on and on, costing trillions of dollars, huge deficits, to try to remake Islamic societies in the Middle East. The American public just grew tired of it now. And when that happens, Barack Obama wins just because he's a change. Okay, so now we're saddled with Obamacare. We're saddled with another great leap forward in our domestic entitlement state. So it's a terrible, terrible turn of events. And for conservatives on the right, the neoconservative foreign policy has resulted in two things: losing wars and losing elections. So when it comes to what I would consider a conservative foreign policy, I think the right in this country needs to really reexamine the past 30 years and take a hard look at our budget and at our place in the world, and really ask themselves if they still want to move forward with the neoconservative plan or whether they want to change course. So with that, Al, I will end my lengthy diatribe.
Jeff, I must say that I agree with pretty much everything you say there, and I think the one hope that I have for the U.S. moving forward is that it's the younger generation again stepping up and saying that we don't like what's going on. It's kind of like how the younger generation, as you mentioned, did that at the Vietnam War. We right now, the younger generation, is saying we agree with Ron Paul's mentality and also Walter Jones, and we want to focus more on that. And that gives me some hope that as the younger generation becomes more influential, that these guys will get more credence for their ideas, and we might go back to the old school type of thinking. Do you think that I'm off base or on base on this one?
Well, I do think that young people in America are more anti-war. When I say young people, I mean millennials and younger. So let's say 30 and below. I think that they are more anti-war than their baby boomer parents, perhaps. I think that, you know, they understand the problems facing us at home, domestically, especially when they are emerging into the world in a very tough job market. They're emerging into a world where college degrees are watered down, where they may have a tremendous amount of student loan debt. And so all the things that their baby boomer parents took for granted, like buying a house and getting married and, you know, getting a professional degree, like, let's say, being a lawyer or an accountant or a doctor, was sort of a not guaranteed, but a pretty reliable ticket to an upper middle class existence. You know, those things are all gone. And a large part of that, of course, is the U.S. dollar and our debt obligations and our entitlement state. So I think young people understand that, and I think that remaking societies in the Middle East is not at the top of their priority list.
Jeff, I have to agree with you 100% on that one. That is certainly not a high priority of either Big Al or his family. It's the Middle East is the Middle East. It's interesting how we pose the question of why do you think the Republican Party is going after Walter Jones to Doc? And Doc's a pretty bright guy. That's why we have him on the show every single day. And he said, Al, he said, it's really easy. He said, Corey maybe can't relate to this because he lives in Canada, but he said, I'm sure that you can. And he said, that is the establishment in the United States is the old guard Republican Party right now. And as you mentioned, and also to an extent, the Democratic Party, and some would say to a very large extent, the Democratic Party. Fact of the matter is, when you get the old guard Republicans not on your side, that could cause a problem because, as you said off mic, Jeff, they are the party of losing wars and borrowing money. Hey, we're going to continue this conversation here. We're going to be right back after a short commercial break.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $33,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $33,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Okay, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. We're chatting with Jeff Deist right now. You know, Jeff, in the prior segment, you were talking about the change that's taken place in American society over the last about 55 years or thereabouts. And, you know, it's hard for me to accept that change because I am truly, I mean, I came of age in the late 50s and early 60s, and it's very hard for me to accept a lot of the things that are going on right now. And I'm not just talking here about moral issues. I'm not just necessarily talking about political issues. But what I'm talking about in addition to that is economic issues. I mean, boy, I got to tell you, talk about the U.S. being a house of cards. It couldn't be more of a fragile house of cards. Any comments on that?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we're still borrowing. I don't believe all the numbers that are coming out of the GAO these days. I still think we're still borrowing at least $1 billion a year in terms of what we bring in taxes and what we spend on the federal level. But beyond that, you know, we're just borrowing it. We're also accomplishing some of this through monetary easing and sort of papering over the congressional deficit. So, to me, you know, I've stated this before on your show, Al, the U.S. dollar is the single biggest issue facing America. And until we get our fiscal house in order and our entitlement budget in order and our defense spending in order, it will remain the single biggest issue facing us because it could very quickly cease being the world's reserve currency. And when that day comes, Americans could be shocked by how quickly they become much, much poorer. And I think that this is a hugely misunderstood blind spot for many, many Americans.
Jeff, to further your comment, I think we also need to get the domestic economy, as in producing more products and developing new industries. I don't think that we can survive right now by simply creating more Facebooks or Twitters and then running those IPOs out there. I want to get back in the small business, those people who have the faith to go out there and start up their own business and start working for themselves and start to create jobs that way. Because right now, the job growth that we've been seeing is in low-paying, minimum-wage jobs, even part-time jobs that really do not help people forward their life.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we need an economy that's not based strictly on financial markets. In other words, you know, we've identified the financialization of the U.S. economy. We used to be a country that makes stuff, and now we're a country that just sort of moves digits around electronically. And that's all well and good if it's done in a true market sense of allocating capital. But if it's simply sort of a shell game and it's all based on money that is artificially, the cost of which to borrow is artificially low because of the Fed in effect setting interest rates, then, you know, we've got a real problem. And if you look, Corey, at foreign investment in the United States, whether that's strategic corporate investment by Asian companies, European companies, et cetera, or by individuals, that investment tends to run towards stuff. In other words, people want to buy Anheuser-Busch because Anheuser-Busch has physical concrete and steel plants and the ability to make beer. Foreign individuals want to buy real estate because that's physical, tangible stuff here in America that, you know, they're less interested in buying, you know, the latest Facebook, because I think the world is rapidly waking up to the fact that a purely financial economy is smoke and mirrors. And that's why, you know, I think if you look at Canada with a relatively, you know, small population and their current political leadership, you know, that's a country that is interested in you know, having real industry, metals and mining, timber, shale, oil, especially in Alberta, and agriculture. So, you know, the United States seems hell-bent on destroying all these industries, whereas perhaps Canada is actually on the cusp of sort of waking up and becoming more of a commodities-based country, which, you know, which somebody like Putin is very open about.
You know, I got to ask the million-dollar question here, and that is, I personally, and admittedly I'm biased because I'm obviously part of the baby boom generation, maybe even a skosh older than that, but having said that, I know I'm biased, but I have to tell you, from a political standpoint, and let's use the word leadership here, from a moral standpoint and from an economic standpoint, I am pretty convinced that this is a situation that cannot be turned around. What's a person to do?
Al, I think, I hate to say it, but the answer is not a snap your fingers soundbite. I mean, it's all about the left's long march through our institutions. The left controls academia, it controls media, it controls major newspapers, it controls government, it controls education and teachers unions. So, you know, all of this took well nigh 100 years to accomplish. So, you know, we need to change people's hearts and minds first and foremost. But beyond that, you know, in terms of more rapid events, you know, there's two ways, there's two arguments. One is that some sort of cataclysmic economic collapse or terrible depression in America would wake people up to the folly of central planning, both fiscally and also in terms of monetary policy, and make them sort of recover their libertarian roots from, you know, the first couple of centuries in this country. The flip side is that, you know, we look at crises throughout history, they often tend to lead to more government because people clamor, you know, for troops literally in the streets when things go awry. You know, you can see a shutdown of internet, you can see a shutdown of banking, you can see government controlling fuel and food and water. So it's, you know, it's by no means clear that a libertarians being right about what's happening to our country and to our economy will necessarily, you know, make the American public turn libertarian if our predictions come true.
Jeff, I think one thing that could also help out the American population in general is if there was a leader that everybody actually got behind and then followed through on what they said they were going to do. Obama ran on the premise of change and didn't change anything, but people did get behind that premise. I think there are a large portion of Americans out there that want to have that change, but right now, man, I don't see anybody out there who can offer it and who's even close to getting the limelight right now. Do you know of anybody?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a field, you know, certainly the 2016 field will be a field of midgets, but, you know, politics is not something that I would waste any of my time or emotional energy with. I think it's a fool's game, And I think that there's many, many things that individuals can do that's more productive with their time, their money, their energy, to improve their own personal situations, but also improve society at large. And, you know, the market and civil society is what's going to bring us out of this dark period we seem to have entered. It's not going to be the state. It's not going to be politicians, and it's not going to be a knight in shining armor, you know, in the political scheme of things.
You know, given the fact that you spent so many years on the Hill, given the fact that you know so many people on the national level in politics, I find that to be a very, very interesting statement. And I have to say, I really agree with you. I think that right now, getting involved in politics is almost a waste of time. You know, it's my own personal experience here is I have a bit of a problem with the Democratic Party, and the only reason I have that problem is because, you know, because of my family's past experiences, socialism is something that just doesn't work for me at all, you know, and it damn near killed my grandparents, for lack of better terms. And, you know, and in terms of a lot of the Republicans today, I think that they are very much almost in that same category, not because they'd like to see society go in a direction of socialism, but because, you know, I think most of them are all about power. You know, I mean, you get a guy like Walter Jones, who comes out on the record and says we should not be the policemen of the world. This makes all the sense in the world to me, and yet the establishment has to go after the guy. That's just something that I just think, and by the establishment, obviously, I mean the Republican establishment has to go after the guy. I think that is so wrong because it's nothing but common sense. Number one, we cannot afford to be the policeman in the world. And number two, trying to be the policeman or the arbiter slash referee in the Middle East is a absolute fool's game. You've got thousands of years of history behind you there, and I have to tell you, let them sort it out themselves. I agree with your former boss, Jeff, 100%. And that's one of the reasons that it's a darn shame that Ron didn't do a little bit better in the primaries in the last election. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to listen to our daily editorials. Give us all the feedback you can. We got a great blog. See you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com.
SilverSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. And use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.